Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Text for our meditation this morning comes from that epistle lesson, although we'll hit on the epistle and the gospel, especially that very last sentence. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. This is our text. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, our living Lord and Savior, what are you doing this afternoon? It's a common question we ask people. We might switch it up a little bit when we're talking with our spouse or our family to what do you want to do this afternoon? For me, this afternoon, I'm going to go home and make lunch, probably watch a little football. Maybe I'll cut my grass if it stops raining. I got to call my folks, call them every single Sunday, and basically just relax. So what are you going to do this afternoon? Doing is so ingrained into our souls, into our fabric, into who we are and what we do. We are constantly doing something. I mean, even if we're just sitting there watching TV, we are doing something. We're sitting there watching TV. And if we aren't doing a thing, we're still doing something. We're thinking about something. If nothing else, we're breathing. We're just sitting there. But we are always doing something. So we're obsessed with doing something. So it shouldn't surprise us that doing something has worked its way into our theology, into our religion, into our faith. It's worked its way into our relationship with God. The idea of doing something has worked its way into our thought for salvation. We just naturally want to do something to earn our way. And that, my dear friends, is what the Reformation is all about. Pastor Heinert has said it 100 times. There are only 2 religions in the world, man's religion and God's religion. Man's religion wants to do something. Man's religion wants to please God. Man's religion has requirements for salvation. Man's religion wants to do something. You've got to go to church. You have to keep the Ten Commandments. You have to be a good neighbor. You've got to be a good person. That's man's religion. What's God's religion? God's religion is summarized by St. Paul in that verse I just read. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. God's religion is also summarized by Jesus' words in our gospel lesson for today when he says, "So if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed." As much as we want to do something to earn God's favor, to win our salvation, to secure our spot in heaven after Jesus comes again, it's impossible to do. I say it at least once a week in one of the classes I'm teaching, that we are by nature spiritually dead, spiritually blind, and enemies of God. And Jesus says just about the same thing in our gospel lesson for today when he says that everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. Do you know that being a slave to sin means that we are owned by sin? And if we are slaves to sin, and if we are owned by sin, that means that we can't do what we want to do. That means that we can't do what God wants us to do. We can only do what our owner wants us to do, and that means the only thing that we can do is sin. And that's a problem. As much as we may try, there is nothing that we can do to contribute to our own salvation. Now, the good news, the gospel says, and St. Paul says, now the righteousness of God has been made manifest, has been revealed apart from the law. In other words, righteousness, or being what God intended us to be from the creation of the world, has nothing to do with anything that we can do. It is totally about what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. When it comes down to it, salvation is such a simple thing. But because of our obsession with wanting to do something, we make it much more difficult than it needs to be. Salvation, simply put, is just all about Jesus. Salvation, simply put, is just all about God's Word. Salvation is all about faith. And that's why those three key phrases connected with the Reformation are sola scriptura, sola Christus, sola fide. In other words, Scripture alone, Christ alone, faith alone. God's Holy Spirit works through the Word and sacraments to create faith in us. And it's nothing that we do. It's not something that we choose. It is all God's work in our hearts. What do we have faith in? We have faith in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection as the atoning sacrifice for our sin. So the way it works is, we sin, Christ died, Christ pays for our sin. All we do is sin, and all Jesus does is save us. The Holy Spirit gives us that faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and His life, death, and resurrection, and we get to go to heaven. You know, one would think that you would need a certain amount of faith, a minimal level of faith, in order to receive a marvelous grand gift like eternal life in heaven with God as His restored and perfect beings. I mean, surely we need like a gallon of faith, and we need to go to church at least twice a month, and we need to pray three times a day in order to spend all eternity in heaven in a place that has streets of gold and where God Himself resides and where we will see Him and talk to the Almighty God face to face. But you know what? That simply isn't the case. Jesus tells us that if we have faith the size of a tiny, tiny mustard seed, then you can say to that mountain, move, and it will move, and that nothing will be impossible for us. All you need is the smallest, little tiny amount of faith in Jesus in order to go to heaven. One classic example of this that I use all the time to show that we don't need to do anything to spend all eternity in heaven is the case of the thief on the cross next to Jesus. This was a terrible, terrible man. You need to understand that the Romans didn't crucify people for just jaywalking, okay? They only crucified the worst of the worst, the really nasty people. We're talking murderers. We're talking traitors, we're talking terrorists. Those were the people who were crucified. And so while we don't know much about that thief on the cross, we do know that he had done nothing worthy of God's praise for his whole entire life. And yet, as they were all three hanging on the cross, he he heard Jesus' words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And after the thief hears those words, he simply says to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." He had no lofty thoughts that he would join Jesus in heaven. He had no idea that Jesus was dying for the forgiveness of his sins. All he wanted was for Jesus, once he got up into heaven, was to have a glimmer of thought of him. Just remember me. And yet, Jesus replies to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Now remember, this man was never baptized. This man never received the Lord's Supper. He never had a chance to go to a Bible study. He never went to a worship service. He never did anything that we would expect a Christian to do. And yet Jesus' words ring true. "Truly, truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." That's what the Reformation is all about. Now, don't get me wrong. Doing something is always good. Going to church, praying, reading the Bible, giving to the church, taking the Lord's Supper, going to the Bible classes, helping the poor, teaching Sunday school, these are all good things. And doing these things will strengthen our faith. But when we start thinking that doing these things will help us be a better person and that doing these things will earn us a spot in heaven, then we need to take a step back, because that's totally not what the Bible says. The Bible says that Jesus has done everything for our salvation, and we have to do nothing. There are things that I can do to say, "Thank you, Jesus," but doing something to contribute to my salvation goes against everything that the Bible says. So, my friends, on this 499th anniversary of the beginning of the Reformation, put your trust in Jesus. He is the author and perfecter of our faith, and he is the only way to heaven. The real message of the Reformation is in Jesus' words, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which far surpasses all of our human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.